And good day to you. Welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Meraz. Today we're joined by Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent as we talk about city business and how it relates to those of you who live in the community. And Mayor Trent, as always, welcome to the program.
Great to be here, Chuck. Thank you.
Well, let's talk about a lot of things that are going on right now in the city. I know that you had a visit from Mr. Tony Wilder from Local Link Solutions, and this is in regards to the Kentucky Wired project, which is basically wiring the region for internet service.
It is. The Kentucky Wired project was started as a joint effort through SOAR, which was created, the Eastern Kentucky SOAR, which was which is S-O-A-R, Saving Our Appalachian Region, and that was a combination of federal and state work between Hal Rogers and then Governor Beshear. And part of the thing they wanted to do was bring up Kentucky as a whole, but primarily Eastern Kentucky, into the 21st century and upgrade our broadband capability. Right now, we're like 48th out of 50 in broadband capability. And some people talk about, well, that's, you know, you can't get on Netflix, you can't get on Facebook. That's not what it's about. It's about economic development and also allowing people to have an even playing field with the other 48 states ahead of us. And once this is all laid out, it's a $300-some million project. It's a huge project. A group out of Australia actually is the one who comes in and is overseeing this. They do this all over the world. I've actually was fortunate enough to meet the owner there down a year or two ago down in Lexington at a broadband conference. So it's very, very comprehensive. Unfortunately, when you're dealing with governments, especially federal and state, there are delays, as we well know. So it's delayed right now a little bit, but it was supposed to be up and running in our area hopefully around December, January. Now it's looking like probably hopefully by this time next year, maybe a little earlier. But what Tony Wilder's group does, he works for a group called Local Links, and their job is they are what is called a buyer's agent. In other words, how the Kentucky Wired program works is the state will pay for the fiber to be run down certain major corridors. Ours is I-64, and it will branch off into communities to certain things such as what they call vital services like fire, police, government buildings such as schools, hospitals, county government buildings. And then from there, there'll be major hubs set up or trunks, as it were, where then you need to take as a community and hook on there and then figure out a way to provide access to your residents. And that's the most expensive part of this whole thing is that what they call the last mile. So right now we were very fortunate to work with the Gateway Community Ad in Gail Wright, and we went in and were able to get a grant through the state that they're providing some of these grants. And we were working with a group called Celerity, which Celerity helps us plan how to set it up in your community, where it needs to go, that type of thing. Where Tony Wilder's group, and Tony was with for 8 years, he was the head of the Department of Local Government in Frankfort. So he's got a lot of contacts. He's a former county and city official where his hometown is. And so what he wants to do is his group is trying then to take the next step. Once we have the planning phase, then they're going to go out and try to seek partners who want to come in and partner with the community to help run that. Because you're talking about an expensive project.
How expensive do you think it'll be?
Well, millions. I mean, you're talking a few million dollars. Now, before everybody, you know, panics and turns off the radio and throws it across the room, it's not $1 million that we're going to have to come up with. But it's something that we're going to partner with. People like Corning, matter of fact, Corning is who they work a lot with. Corning is the largest manufacturer of fiber in the world. And so Corning is looking for areas like us to be a beta test, so to speak. So let's see what we can do. We'll work for them, get them the best deals, and then have somebody come in and invest in us. We'll work with them and try to help them recoup their investment, basically. But it gets very tricky because you've already got Windstream, you've already got Time Warner, and some of those other companies have already ran some fiber, not all, and it's not to every home. So right now it's kind of a trying to take a diplomatic approach and make sure we bring everybody to the table. We want those carriers to be involved as well. And there's just some different things. So it's in other words, it's not just running a line of cable down I-64, taking it out to the industrial park and having everybody come in and hook it up. It's very complicated, and there's a lot of different aspects that have to be looked at. We're fortunate that Celerity's helping the Gateway region, And we're fortunate that we're going to be getting a feasibility study from Tony's group, which is about a $100,000 feasibility study that Corning is going to provide for us for free. Very similar thing is happening in Bowling Green. The same study that this group worked on is going to be done here, and that one costs them around $95,000. So that is what they do. They want to set up, help you, and give to the community in hopes that you allow them to come in, set up, and then recoup their investment. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where we are right there. And, you know, as far as getting fiber to the home, our goal is to get it as soon as possible, making it. But we're looking at, you know, several months, maybe up to a year before we can get everything worked out. And it's just because it's a very complicated process.
In line with that type of discussion, kind of curious where things are with Regent Corporation, which is putting a wireless solutions agency here in Moorhead. And this has been talked about for a while. I know they're continuing to work on their building to get it ready to move into.
I talked to Barry McElroy, who will be one of the chief operating personnel down here when they open, and he told me they really hope to be opened up by the 1st of September. I know if you drive by the building, a lot's been done with framing of walls and whatnot, and they've already brought the students back from Malvern, Pennsylvania. And I don't know if we touched on this once before. Regent was very kind. They took six MSU students who are space science oriented or in that degree program, took them to Malvern, which is a suburb of Philadelphia, and kept them there, paid for everything. They taught them how to build their equipment, taught them how to repair their equipment, and now they're bringing them back, and they're hiring those individuals. They'll be hired to full-time jobs this fall. Matter of fact, one of them showed up. I can't remember his name. He showed up at our meeting on Monday, our council meeting, and was telling about all the different things that are going. So they're buying into the community, and they're giving back. And one thing, too, I want to go ahead, and if you don't care, we have a wireless network that we're testing downtown. So for those of you who are downtown or who frequent downtown as a pedestrian or bike rider or in your car, the downtown network that we're testing right now, if you do a search, it comes up Moorhead Live. And then once it pops up on your screen, the password is downtown, all lowercase. So Moorhead Live is the Wi-Fi that you'll see. Click on it and then type in downtown, lowercase. Now, it's not as strong as we want it. We're in a testing phase, but it's worked out pretty well. You can't replace your business Wi-Fi with it. It's really not for use indoors. If you remember a few months ago, we had some talked about them hanging them on the poles. They're primarily designed for pedestrians, people on bikes or riding their through town in their car. It's designed to eventually we want to have a page so it has announcements on it, maybe we have advertising, if there's events coming up, weather, those type of things. And again, this is provided free by Regent, about $50,000 worth of equipment. They're going to maintain it for us, and Moorhead State's been kind enough to let us use their internet source for now until Kentucky Wired opens up, and then we'll do that. So even though Regent has taken a while to get going, the things they're doing behind the scenes, to me, keeps me and the other folks who know about it very comfortable in knowing that they are buying into the community.
Yeah, the main thing is to remind people that they are coming and they are about to be here.
This will be, according to their CEO, Bob Scana, he hopes that this will be their worldwide sales headquarters, and also they will be working with Moorhead State to build some of their radios. And they've got some other exciting things coming down the line that we can't discuss yet. They're proprietary, and they've not been announced, but when we do, hopefully in the coming months, we can announce some of those things on your show that will be really exciting, and some new stuff that they can work with the space science students and actually let students work while they're in school and putting them together, because people forget. You know, I didn't know this. Ben Malfres had to educate me, but, you know, people forget our students build our CubeSats. You know, they're built down at our Space Science Center. People don't realize that, and so, you know, we're known for that, but our students actually build them, and so we've got this workforce that we're creating here at Moorhead State University. We'll be able to enhance it with the new KCTC Center when it opens up out there in a couple years out at the Industrial Park, because that's a advanced manufacturing. So we really believe that one of the areas we're going to try to help Eastern Kentucky, especially our area, with is technology jobs. And we've got it set up here. We've got a great system. Moorhead State, KCTC. We've got the Innovation Launch Pad if somebody wants to go off and do it on their own. We've got support from Regent. They're going to bring some other big-time players in eventually. So, you know, Hal Rogers once quipped last spring when he was in here about this becoming Silicon Holler. You know, I'm all for him. And if this is Silicon Holler, then I want to be the quote-unquote head of the hauler here so we can bring and replace some of these coal jobs and some of the other jobs that people are talking about. Because, you know, that's the way of the future. And with it being aerospace and being the number one export of Kentucky, and we're third in the country at $9 billion, that's the way to go, and we hope to capitalize on it.
You talked about downtown. Obviously, those who are returning to town, say some of Morehead State's students and maybe some faculty who've been or staff who've been on vacation, will notice driving down Main Street that the islands that used to contain the trees have been removed. The road has been completely straightened, and now you have parallel parking there. Did the process go as smoothly as you hoped?
It probably went better than we had hoped. And we're not finished yet for those of you who have been able to see it and those of you who are coming in to see it. It's funny I say that. I've had a few folks comment on social media that, hey, we're going to come back to town just to see that. So I said it's going to have unintended tourism benefits. But, you know, that was something that was done originally, and I have to give Larry Breeze credit. When he did that back, as I understand, back 20 years ago, you know, there's been criticism for, criticism against, but now you have to sit back and look. When that was done initially, one of the main things that he wanted to do there as mayor is he wanted to make sure that he was looking towards the future. And one of the things he did was, if you'll notice, there's no overhead wires or cable when you go between the area that we worked on, which is basically Hargis Avenue, Citizens Bank, up to Pasquale's up there at near the old courthouse. And if you notice, when you walk, there's no overhead wires. Well, what he was able to do was work with utility plant board, put them all underground, look forward, because now, when, as we talk about a segue here, when that fiber comes in and we start running up things like that, we're going to need those right-of-ways. We're going to need to have that. Well, we have it now because of that that happened 20 years ago. The trade-off by getting that grant to help pay for most of that 20 years ago was, it was a streetscape type of grant. I don't know, remember the exact name of it, but by doing that, you had to have a certain amount of it had to be aesthetically, the aesthetics had to be redone. In other words, there needed to be trees and those type of things. That's kind of the trade-off. So whether you like the curves or you like the islands or not, the benefit will be there forever. And the benefit is the overhead wires, getting those right-of-ways, being able to tie everything in with the utility plant board under the ground, which makes it so much easier to repair and to keep from being damaged. So I have to, you know, the forethought that took 20 years ago to see that, we're going to reap the benefits when we do this fiber or anything else. Now, instead of repairing telephone and all this other stuff, I have to climb on the poles and all that. It's all contained. It's all right there in the same area. And, you know, my hat's off to him for doing that and to think that way.
And the other part of this, I know that some people who have not liked the change too much because they missed the trees, the tree islands that ran alongside the road and turned it into Lombard Street, Morehead style. But at the same time, I know that you talked about putting some trees back into the downtown.
We will. Our plan is to put at least 10 trees back, 5 on each side. And right now we're working with several downtown businesses who we have this idea we're floating around and we think it will come to fruition. We just haven't, you know, got all the details worked out. But a downtown merchant actually had the idea and said, look, why don't let's put up memorial trees for those who had businesses downtown or who had significant contributions to downtown. And you're thinking about people like former mayor John Will Holbrook. You're thinking of Al Baldwin. You're thinking of Alfie Hutchinson, Steve Lewis, Philip Lewis. You know, there's so many people you can think of that John Sonny Allen, so many people that had an influence, Louise Cottle. I mean, we can name 10 right now. And I've been in contact with some of those families, and they are interested. And so we think we may go ahead and partner with them and put like 10 trees. It'll be a memorial with a plaque. They'll be in pots, though. That's the difference. We'll have trees that are designed to be grown and maintained in like 42-inch pots, which enables us to, if necessary, move them. But it doesn't take up the road space that we're wanting to maintain. And the flowers, we're looking at other places like Maysville and some other areas that have some unique attachments to the poles that are both aesthetically pleasing but also low maintenance. So, you know, we're not finished. This is going to be probably continue up until next month. But these are things we're trying. You know, the road obviously I think is great. I personally believe it opens up our downtown. It showcases our downtown better when you drive through. People are wanting to go downtown now. I heard forever people would avoid downtown because of the islands. I don't know what the percentage was. No one knows that. But, you know, I think that it's a good, fresh start for the students coming back. I think it's a nice, the way it was done, I have to give Hinkle credit. They did a great job. Brad Thompson, who is their superintendent, who did that. And also people are really looking at Main Street, which is great, but they have to forget we did a lot of work down on Stone Street. Stone Street down Newtown with Fazoli's and Wild Wings, went in and put curb and guttering, put sidewalks on the one side, never been there, and paved it as well. So we're really trying to make our town as accessible to pedestrians and visitors, but also help the existing businesses here take pride and grow them and attract others.
Again, our guest today on Front Page, Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent. We'll continue our discussion right after this.
Hello, this is Jeff Hanley, host of Jazz Happening Now on WMKY-FM. Each week on Jazz Happening Now, I'll have a full hour of jazz new releases, and I think you'll be thrilled by what today's jazz musicians are playing and recording. Solos to small groups to big bands, it's the new generation of jazz, and it's here for you every Sunday evening at 6 on Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY at 90.3 FM.
Welcome back to the Front Page. I'm Chuck Meraz, your host. Our guest is Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent. And here at City Council on Monday night, businessman Steve Williams stopped by to talk to you and council, and he was advocating the annexation of Kentucky 801, and just wanted to get your thoughts about that.
Well, that's been discussed, I think, several years before I came into office, and I know that one of the first discussions I had with some folks out there and some folks who want to maybe bring businesses out there right away. Last year we talked about that. Personally, I think if it benefits everybody, and I think if it benefits the city and it benefits the residents out there, I think it needs to be looked at. Any kind of deal we try to do, any kind of movement we try to make, whether it's business or whether it's annexation or whether it's trying to make Main Street better or whatever we try to do, we try to make sure that all parties win. In other words, we want it to work, because if you don't, then you got dissension, and you're always going to have that. Now, is everybody going to be for it? Probably not. But if you can go and talk to folks, and a majority of the folks out there want it to happen, then we can do that. And I'll give you an example. Why would you want that? Well, people say, well, we don't want to have out of here because there's going to have alcohol sales. That's the big number one thing you'll hear. And we can argue that all day long. We can debate the pluses and minuses of that all day long. And not get anywhere. But what you have to look at is, if you drive out in the county in certain areas, and this is no knock on the county, it's not a knock on anybody, I'm just telling you like it is, when you don't have ordinances and you don't have certain things set up, people can put up just about anything they want, whether it's a business, whether it's a housing project, and they're really not held to the strict standard that we have in the city limits. Now, there are state laws and state ordinances you got to follow, obviously, but they don't have that. So anyone right now, any place, could go put up, just imagine if you
like
had
a dog kennel next to a residential
kennel,
area.
A hog farm, a dump. If you look at the negatives, now you can also put up positive things too. But what you have to realize is that, yes, your taxes, your tax base would grow, but if you're being annexed, your property tax may go up a little bit, but your property value is going to go up a little bit too, because you have the insurance rates of fire protection, police protection. You have the potential to have maybe even better utilities prices. There are so many different things you look at, and truth, some things would go up, but you're also going to look at the benefits you're getting. So it's a balancing act. You have to sit down and make your list, pros and cons. Would you be better off without it? Would you be better off with it? I know that for business-wise, people want us to go out there because it opens up areas. Like, for example, there's a person that owns a hotel out there. If it were to go and be put into city limits with annexation, then because of that, it's my understanding there may be a restaurant or two that would come very quickly because of the fact that you have all those, and plus they may or may not be able to sell alcohol. Whether that's a factor, I don't know. But the protections you get, the tax breaks you get, your property value goes up. There's so many different things to look at. It's not a one-issue deal. So, again, though, it's not something you can simply do. There's ways that the city can annex. There's various ways. Which direction do you go? Do you go straight line? There's so many different things to look at. It's very complicated.
Well, I'll ask you this question then. It had been a dormant topic, really, with city council now for quite some time until Mr. Williams brought it up. Is this something that you expect council maybe to start considering?
Oh, I think so, because council had already been, there had already been a discussion brought up just not too long ago about, you know, would there be consideration of doing something like that? And I know the discussion we had, which it was open floor discussion, that several people on council spoke up and said, yeah, we would like to, you know, look at that. I think we need to. So I see that probably evolving into more deeper conversations in the coming months.
All right. We, from time to time, we'll talk about the project up on North Wilson Avenue where you had a retaining wall in one section of the street that was pulling away. That retaining wall was protecting the street from a creek that was running next to it. So, I mean, have you finished that project up?
I haven't driven up there today, but it's my understanding it will be. It's supposed to be finished up this week. Now, I haven't driven up there today, but I will. I drove up there last weekend, and they were on the very last section of the wall. They had already put back in, I believe it was three bridges, excuse me, to residents' homes that they had to replace to go around that. And they made them wider and, of course, all that. And it really looks good. I know they've done a lot of work. There's been some inconvenience for people, but we think we got it at the right time with school being out over the summer. But it looks really good. It's going to make it a lot safer. That's the number one thing. And by not doing the entire wall, because some of the wall was really good, this is basically going to be strengthening either side of that wall. So that will make what is existing last longer because you're reinforcing the pressure, not pulling away. We're hoping to have it done this week. You know, is that written in stone? No, because I've not actually had a discussion with them, but that was the plan, to have it finished by the time school starts on Monday. So if it's not, don't storm the castle down at City Hall, but we're trying to wrap it up. And as far as I know, if the weather holds like it's supposed to today, it may be finished this week, and if not, at the very latest next week.
Okay. Again, a pretty important project. It was a $300,000 project, but we want to point out, too, to people that you got some help, I guess, from the state on this.
We got $200,000 from the state, so we were out $100,000. Now, again, that was $100,000 that we didn't have budgeted for, but fortunately we had it in reserve, so we were able to cover that and very fortunate to get, I think it was Rural Road Aid, I think is what it's called. Was where it came from, but Joe Parson worked very hard with that and worked with the state and made sure that we got that, which that was a pretty good lick when you can get two-thirds of it paid for, and it wasn't budgeted for. Those are the type of breaks you like.
About 90 seconds left. Anything new on the recreation front?
I know the recreation as far as their survey, it finished up last Friday. I think Ken Henderson is his group will be taking that on as soon as they start having classes next week. He's a professor here at Morehead State, and we're very anxious to see that. We think we got close to 700 or 800 written surveys, and we've probably got more than that online. So by us not touching it and going through the process through the school and them doing it, we think we'll have a scientific, the best we can, study, but it won't be something we're driving, which is what we wanted to do. We wanted it to be as open and upfront as possible. We hope to come back maybe in October and have the results and talk about some of that with you. We're going to give them the month of September to digest and come up with the report. So that's exciting to kind of go in with some other things we may be announcing soon.
All right, Mr. Mayor, as always, thanks so much for coming by and joining us on Front Page.
We appreciate the time.
Again, that's Morehead Mayor Jim Tom Trent. I'm Chuck Meraz, your host of The Front Page. We'll see you next time.